Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Okay, if we're giving random shout-outs to Chicago radio shows, Parkins and Spiegel, obviously the best.
Afternoons on the Score.
Hey, Akeem, how involved was Bill Belichick on a daily basis with the defense, right? I mean, was he in meetings with the defense going over the game plan, or was he letting the D coordinators do that?
Nah, Bill is the D coordinator, man. Bill run the defense.
Tom Brady used to always talk about how much Bill helped him understanding the defense, right? Telling Tom, this is what stresses a defense in cover two, in cover one, in cover three. And Tom gained this great insight on what defenses were trying to do. And Mac Jones is benefiting from that same knowledge. Bill spends time with Mac talking about defense. What a huge advantage. Tony Dungy did that for me when I was playing for the Colts. That's a huge advantage for Mac Jones.
Yeah, super advantage.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons on the Score.
That is the hope. That is the dream here. What Peyton Manning and Aqib Talib were talking about on the Manning Cast. Okay, fine. You didn't hire the offensive genius who can grow and develop and have continuity with Justin Fields. But if he is truly Matt Eberflus, a great teacher and a great communicator, he can, okay, the Bears are playing the Vikings this week. This is what this type of defense struggles with. And he can help Justin Fields understand that on a week-to-week basis.
Absolutely. And Matt Eberflus is one of his big strengths as a DC is disguising intent. So putting a one defensive front for the quarterback to see and then doing something different. So how great could it be if he's a good communicator and a good teacher for the quarterback for Fields to be able to go over and say, hey, they keep showing me this. And he says, well, that means they're going to do this. Okay. If I were them, when you see this, when you see the middle linebacker come over here, don't expect that that means he's coming. Then somebody's coming from over there.
Right. And because people say, well, Parkins, there's so many examples, you know, there's Belichick and Brady. And I always say, well, Belichick's an outlier, right? He's Hall of Famer.
Sure.
It's almost impossible to replicate.
What, of defensive guy and
quarterback. There are examples.
Don Shula and Dan Marino.
Dan Marino.
And Bob Greasy, of course.
Yeah, it's cleaner and easier. And I feel like you get to that point once the quarterback proves himself to be great and system proof. That's not what we have here in Justin Fields. And so that's why it concerns me. But hopefully that's what Matt Eberflus's influence on Fields can be. Hiring a great staff, but also on a week-to-week basis, we're playing this defense this week. This is what it's vulnerable with. This is what you need to look for. We're going to hear from Matt Eberflus in his own words in just a little bit, but we want to hear from the mob as well. Big breaking news day with Matt Eberflus and Ryan Poles. And it's true. Yes. Matt and Ryan are our football people.
Amazing.
Yeah. It's
glorious.
Just, yeah. We don't need to get a new soundbite. It makes things easy.
Yeah. No, we appreciate that. Really do.
Roberto in Massachusetts is up first on the Score. What up, Roberto?
I love you both. Let's just start right there.
You're a smart man. We love you too.
I'm a genius. That's what they call me. Question for you guys would be, everyone's being so negative because we have an offensive-minded GM and a defensive-minded head coach. I feel like there can be positives here, but is a 7-10 or 8-9 season still good for the team if you see an improving
defense under Eberflus.
For this coming year, is 7-10.
Yes. Or 8-9, but a positive one. Or even a 9-8, but we missed the playoffs by a game.
For me, it would depend on how much the roster is reshaped and how much things are different. And like, if you see it going in the right direction, but the talent gap is preventing them from getting there.
And Fields.
Yeah.
You know,
we trade for an Amari Cooper, too.
Say again?
Trade for Amari Cooper.
Do we trade for Amari Cooper too? Give him a real number one wide receiver.
Well, that to me, that's
an interesting thought.
It's my biggest need of the offseason, and thanks, Roberto. How do you find a number one receiver? How can you, with your cap situation, with no first round pick, how do you go into next year with Darnell Mooney not being your number one? Now, maybe you go out into next year and you bring in some people who maybe are on Darnell Mooney's level, and you've got a couple of number twos. It would still be an improvement, right? Like, Christian Kirk is not a clear number one, but he'd make this offense, you'd feel a little bit better about it. Big, a speed guy for Justin Fields. Michael Gallup, I like him a lot. He's coming off, he'll be recovering from an ACL injury all offseason. Is Mike Williams going to leave the Chargers? Are the Falcons going to trade Calvin Ridley?
Boy, I'm intrigued by Mike Williams so much, but yeah. I have been every year. He's the consistent fantasy football draft I feel great about that I don't feel great about during the course of the season.
Yeah, he's got some boomer bust potential, but he's a big, strong wide receiver, good contested catch guy, can be a great red zone threat. But I don't think it'll be Amari Cooper. It's a big contract. But you know,
some unrest in Dallas there.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, are they going to lose Gallup and Cooper in one off season?
Maybe it's cheaper to re-sign Gallup and have him.
Maybe.
You know, if they like Cedric Wilson enough, they survive with Lamb and Wilson for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, but in terms of like a record expectation for this upcoming season, it's obviously too early because we don't know about draft and free agency and, you know, do they play Aaron Rodgers twice a year? So there's still a lot to figure out there, but I think that success will be, do they look improved? Like, just simple improvement. Do we believe in the new brain trust 1 year from now? Does Ryan Poles' first draft in free agency show dividends? Does Matt Eberflus' defense put the Bears back into the top 10 of takeaways? And does Justin Fields develop? Like, I think we'll be judging it most likely more on that than wins and losses. That's how I'd answer that now.
Yeah, I mean, it's what we said. It's what we thought about this year. Like, when we talked about
whether a rookie QB,
yeah, does Matt Nagy get to stick around well if they go a certain way and Fields looks good and yada, yada. We're still waiting.
Let's go to Hammond and welcome Ryan to the Score. Hey, Ryan, what's up? Interesting.
Is that a caller version of being Rickrolled?
It's like a ringback tone, I think. Obviously, that wasn't there when I screamed it.
Some bit has happened?
No, I think maybe he put us on hold. While
Starships are meant to fly.
Yeah, maybe he put us on hold while he's at work. He put us on hold.
All righty, then.
I thought it was a Rickroll thing.
Yeah, no, we're not getting Rickrolled. He had a point.
Don't.
He had a thought.
Well, you there, Ryan?
No, he's not there.
Bilal, you there?
Bilal,
you there? All right, man. All right, man.
All right, we're going to get rid of Ryan.
Yeah, let's get rid of Ryan. One for two. All right.
One for two in terms of fighting a human.
Yeah.
I'd go to my guy Skillet out there in Effingham.
Skillet!
Okay, yeah, sure, Skillet. Where you been?
Hey. I just been driving my 18-wheeler around. I just got one opinion on this hire.
Okay.
You get some management that's going to put on a no-name coach like that. And to me, that just kind of sounds like they're trying to save money. And I don't know if that's the recipe to win a division when Rodgers is out the door and the Bears are as good as the Vikings. I mean, they're knocking on the door here. They got a real shot at it to win. And I think that if you get a top-notch OC, then this head coach's hire is just a moot point. But now look at this guy, Urban Meyer. I mean, he didn't really do nothing that wrong.
Okay.
And all he has to do is go coach this Fields kid again. He won a national championship with him. Why wouldn't you pay him $10 million and go try to win a division?
Where are you really from, Skillet?
Thank you. All right.
In NFL news, Urban Meyer, what a piece of crap.
The less lever has been pulled.
The less lever.
Love the less lever. All right. Well,
Skillet. Effingham is where they have the giant cross down there, right? On off the highway. And so Skillet,
there are three of them, three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway.
Is that there? Yeah.
There's a few. I have one for three.
All right.
That's a music reference you didn't get. That's a Randy Travis song. Three wooden crosses.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you go deep on the country and you're on your own. Maybe Parkins. Maybe it circles back around to Parkins.
I got it. I knew what he was saying. I just wanted to.
I love you with the where you been.
There you go. Oh. The guy's name is Skillet.
Skillet, where you been?
All right, let's hear a little bit of, you know, we tried some calls. One for three. We're in the Hall of Fame if it's baseball.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. I know my job is phones, and I gave you starships.
No, yeah, man, I'm good with that. That was it was Nicki Minaj, right? That was hot.
I don't think it's Nicki Minaj.
No?
I don't know.
I
know it was hot.
Texter says it was actually Club Dub. that we'd been given entrance into Club Dub, which is, I had a good time.
Let's go to Matt calling from Kansas City.
Yeah.
And then that's what we got.
Do me a favor and go back and watch that Colts game.
Yeah, no. We're going to have to.
It's a whole new guy. We get to get used to.
Here's the new Matt, Matt Eberflus. This is on
Ryan and Matt are our football guys.
They're still the football guys. All right. Well, you heard Rod Marinelli talk about loafing. It's all about effort with Matt Eberflus, the consistent buy-in. So here's Flus in his own words.
Coach, you always talk about the three or four pillars you have for your defense. And hustle and flying to the ball is like one of them. Where does that come from? Why is hustle so important to you?
Well, I think it makes up for a lot of things. You know, when you're playing defensive football, for example, when they threw that screen pass in the fourth quarter and Kenny ended up popping the ball out, you know, strip attempting there, you had, you know, Stallworth and then Mo was there and guys were there because the ball was out. And if we were not getting out of the stack and hustling on that particular play, one of the Raiders could have jumped on that football and we wouldn't have had the field position and the game changing play that we end up getting. So we know that we're trying to strip at the football every single play. And one of the reasons why we hustle is that because we want to be able to recover the fumble, but also it helps to eliminate, you know, things like, for example, in the running game, you know, when you guys got overlapping each other, there's a lot of times that it's not perfect up front where guys get knocked out of the gaps. But if we're hustling on the backside, we can make a play that might go, you know, 18 yards, you know, if you're not hustling, only goes 5 or 6. And, you know, so there's hustles all the way through the game. And it's not just on defense, it's on offense. You know, you have guys hustling and blocking guys on the backside, which we saw last a couple of days ago as well. So hustle is something that's paramount to successful football, no matter offense, defense, or special teams.
So hustle is, when you talk about right place at the right time, that's what hustle does for you? I mean, Kenny Moore forces a fumble. He didn't have to cover it because everybody else was there.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, because it's one of our pillars. It starts with hustle. And, you know, we have a saying here, you know, we play on the HITS principle, and it's really starts with H. You know, the H is the hustle part of it, and then the I is how we play with intensity.
Oh boy.
You know, the T is taking the ball away, and then the S is being smart situationally. So that's the pillars we've had since we've been here. It's the HITS principle. We talk about it every single day. It's in our defensive room. It's all over the place, and that's the number one thing, because it is the number one thing.
Oh no.
Our models win, and that is whatever is necessary today.
Oh, God.
That would be Wint. That would be Wint. Burnsy brilliantly points out.
Yeah, it really took a mental level IQ to point that out, that he put in an extra letter into Wint.
Well, it's just the lack of fear of pointing it out is my favorite thing.
Yeah.
Who is it again? It's the Illinois coach. Tim Beckham?
Tim Beckham.
Not Tim Beckham. He was the former number one pick. Was
we
the
are
White
joined
Sox.
In studio by go. Illinois football coach Tim Beckham. What is an Illini fan? What is it fair to expect? Short-term, long-term?
Our models win, and that is whatever is necessary today. And we're taking one day at a time to get ourselves better.
How have you been received with the coaches?
Wouldn't
that be Wint? Yeah. Win.
W-I-N. But today
whatever
makes it
is
Wint.
Necessary.
How have you been received by these coaches in Illinois?
Oh, it's an all-timer.
It really is.
Wouldn't that be Wint? Right? It's the fearlessness. He interrupts his partner.
It's what makes Dan Bernstein a great radio host. That fearlessness.
Absolutely.
Say that in that moment.
100%.
You have a football coach sitting 5 feet from you, and you're correcting his acronym.
Dude, as in person?
I throw... Oh, yeah. It's in studio.
Yeah, even better.
I throw rocks at Bernsey, but that's because there's a lot of bouquets to be thrown, too.
Yeah, that's a great moment.
Oh, that's a great moment.
Wouldn't that be Wint?
No, I said whatever is necessary today. Yeah, but the team makes it win.
You know, we have a saying here. You know, we play on the hits principle, and it really starts with H. You know, the H is the hustle part of it, and then the I is how we play with intensity. You know, the T is taking the ball away, and then the S is being smart situationally. So that's the pillars we've had since we've been here.
All right, I guess I'm out. I mean, honestly, like I was fine with a Matt and Ryan part two.
Man.
I was going to talk myself into a defensive coach. I was willing to say, well, there's upside here. He's never done it before. But if you're an acronym guy.
Oh, not all acronyms are bad.
No, give me a good acronym. DARE? Come on.
No.
Yeah, not a good one.
No.
Yeah.
Give me one H.
About MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving. I think they've done a lot of good things.
They've done a lot of great things, but the
only acronym that matters is USA to me, United States of America.
That's what you always say.
How about NASA? NASA's done a lot of good stuff.
Nope.
Does that count?
Uh-uh.
No, but these are really...
Acronyms are not a good teaching mechanism.
Yeah, you're talking about teaching acronyms. Motivational acronyms. And members of motivational acronyms.
It's just that it's not what you want. You got to be able to get it through by speaking English. Like, you know what I mean? It doesn't have
to be. It is English.
But it's a crutch.
They are football players.
It's a don't belittle football players.
Why say lot word when few word do trick? That's what I've always said.
Yeah.
I bet Danny got excited. We said, well, you can also hustle on offense. Danny's like, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
You can hustle when you're blocking a guy.
Yeah,
geez. Oh, no.
How about put the ball in the end zone?
Not about blocking. Oh, no.
How about Guwagi as an acronym?
I placate you with that.
Yeah.
I brought Guwagi to bear. I brought Guwagi to Adam Shaheen.
You did. Well, that was during the Spiegel and Parkins show.
Yeah, it was a very different
very
show.
Different time.
Actually, audience members pointing out a very good point. Members of the mob have made the point more than one time
that
we should be on board with the new Matt and Ryan because you just rearrange the names a little bit. And, you know, it's the same but different. It's a new and improved, you know, version of the show.
We have that experience, both together with Spiegel and Parkins and Parkins and Spiegel, and me, because I've worked with a Dan before.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah.
Me and a Dan. It was Matt and Dan, Matt and Danny.
Yeah.
Danny and Matt. Matt and Danny. Yeah.
That's okay. So I guess I've got to be back in. I was out on the acronym guy, but now I got to be back in because it's the rearranging the same names.
Here you go, Matt. Here you go, Danny.
Thank you, Jim. Here we go,
Jim.
Tony.
Yeah, we got to play that. Now that's the new goal.
Did Nance say Ryan Pace in that interview at all? Did you guys talk about Ryan Pace at all with Nance? If we can get Nance saying Ryan. Here we go, Matt. Here we go, Ryan.
Oh, God.
Nance?
I don't think he did.
No, next time.
Danny, why don't you go ahead and listen to the whole thing for me?
All right, man. See you tomorrow.
Yeah. We'll get there. Acronym guy, folks.
Yeah, my goal is now to play the Wint exchange for Matt Eberflus. just to hip him to that so we can eventually laugh together about how hits scared us. After they win a Super Bowl, say, hey, by the way, we were very scared when you got hired.
I think we can do it the first time we talk to him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe not right away.
Not the first question.
Yeah.
But
don't lead with it.
Yeah. So, Matt Eberflus, congratulations on achieving a lifelong dream. But please tell me that you can communicate a thought without an acronym. Hits. OSCE. God, that is... we'll be fine. Everything's going to be
fine. I think everything's
going
to be okay. That was scary, and I love the Owen's own way.
Yeah, Owen is very skeptical of the entire...
He's not an acronym guy.
He's not never has been.
Although, is Bingo... No, Bingo's not an acronym, right?
But it was his name-o.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, Bingo doesn't stand for anything.
No, it's never anything.
It's just the name of the game, which is Bingo.
Right.
My name is my name.
Put some respect on my name.
Dave Wanstead at 4 o'clock. Matt Eberflus is the coach of the Bears. We've set a very low bar for calls that I'm confident members of the mob can clear. Chris Ballard on your new coach coming up on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Following the Kansas City Buffalo divisional round game, is there any chance, Ian, that the league takes a look at changing the overtime rules? Because once again, you had a playoff game where a team won the toss and won the game.
Yeah, I think they're going to take a look at it. The focus was more on, you know, I just got a text. I got to go.
Well, now, there goes Ian Rappaport
with us on the Harbor One Hotline.
That is a beautiful moment in live radio. That's Ian Rappaport on WEEI. Hanging up,
wow.
cursing, because he got the text that Matt Eberflus was going to be the new head coach of the Chicago Bears. It's so great. I'm not going to tell you what the news is because I need these retweets. Because Schefter and I are on the group text, and whoever gets it out first gets the majority of the retweets. And you know,
I just got a text. I got to go.
Oh, S. Schefter's going to beat me on this one. So I'm talking to you.
And he didn't. Right? Rappaport had it first, didn't he?
Did Rappaport get it out first?
I don't know. It was the Eberflus.
I was driving. Rick Camp broke the news to me. Rick Camp is my Adam Schefter.
As is Score Custom.
Yeah, I mean, honestly.
And Rick Camp in studio.
Campy, by the way, I see what he's doing. Don't think I don't see what Rick Camp is doing. Both days.
Yeah. Polls Wednesday and Eberflus Thursday.
Yeah. The news is broken.
I got to stop doing that. Ryan Wednesday and Matt Thursday.
You can learn Eberflus.
I can't.
I believe in you. I mean, we're just getting to know him, but I believe that you can do it.
So what's Campy doing?
He's just tying himself in. He's weaving himself into the fabric of Score history. He's the EP of the Bernstein and Rahimi show, very successful, highest rated show on the station. And for both pieces of breaking news, Rick Camp's voice is the one who announces it. He very easily could say in Dan's ear, check out Schefter's Twitter account to have Dan Bernstein, most iconic host arguably in the history of the station, have the voice on it. But Rick Camp is smart. That is a smart, crafty thing to do. Now for forever.
He's in the promos.
He's in the promos. Well, he's in Jason the Tanny Bernstein, production.
Jason Bernstein and Ben Rosen, they do their show when they're talking about, you know, 50 years of The Score. Uh-huh. They'll relive that moment right there. Campy's going to be all over everything.
He's going to be everywhere.
Look, man, I tell you what, the parody songs that Ruben Spiegel will be contributing are just going to be awesome.
With Owen Parkins as the gambling expert. It's going to be perfect. He's going to be giving him takes.
Can't wait until my dog learns to talk, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. That is going to be big for you. That's going to be your lineage here. But yeah, when Tanny gives Matt Eberflus the Goodfellas treatment in 3 years, he's going to have Rick Camp's voice on this at the beginning. That is smart by Campy.
All right, speaking of breaking news here, by the way, Adam Schefter says the Raiders are going to be interviewing Josh McDaniels. They've made the request, and McDaniels is expected to interview with the Raiders. How are you going to feel, Danny Boy, if Josh McDaniels was conceivably available and does leave and goes to a non-Bears, non-Justin Fields situation?
I will be upset.
That was your number one. Harbaugh was my number one.
Yeah, McDaniels is my number one because I thought he checked all the boxes of been successful with a bunch of different quarterbacks, has head coaching experience, so he could be the guy who learns from the first mistakes, and obviously Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
So McDaniels was the number one, and I also thought that it was shaping up that this was going to be the coaching cycle of no, and I'm using air quotes here, home run hire. No Jim Harbaugh, no Sean Payton, no John Gruden, no Josh McDaniels, no like a name that, no Andy Reid, no, hell, I disagree with this, but Mike McCarthy was seen as, home run hire. Oh, he's available. Everyone runs to him.
Being able to poach Ron Rivera would have been a home run hire.
Absolutely would have been a home run hire. But like Matt Eberflus, Nathaniel Hackett, Brian Daboll, Todd Bowles, Leslie Frazier, those are normal names.
They Brian might be, Flores?
That's why when he became available, he became my first choice. He became my first choice because
I don't know if he's going to get a job.
I don't either. I don't either. But you win 19 games in two seasons with that Dolphins roster, and you beat the Patriots four of six times. I am very intrigued by you, personality be damned.
Can I allow Josh McDaniels to bring us back to Matt Eberflus? Because
sure you can.
It's a fascinating subtext as to how Matt Eberflus got the job in Indianapolis. In 2018, as the Colts were putting together a staff for Josh McDaniels, but he was continuing his playoff run with the Patriots, they hired Matt Eberflus to be his defensive coordinator. His, Josh McDaniels. And then McDaniels freaks out and bails and decides to stay in New England, and Frank Reich is hired, and they kept Eberflus because they'd already hired him.
Yeah.
So it's an arranged marriage between Frank Reich and Matt Eberflus that has worked beautifully. But I hadn't realized that they had gone that big in some of their hires in Indy while Josh McDaniels was going to be the guy and then freaked out and bailed. So props to Eberflus for working it out with Frank Reich and working beautifully with Frank Reich when he was originally supposed to be with Josh McDaniels, who I guess there's a relationship there, one would assume.
Yeah, I would assume that there is as well. And yeah, that's a good job. You hire a guy and you give him a contract and then the coach changes. I mean, you could, I suppose, fire him, but coaching contracts are guaranteed money. So it would have been, you know, a considerable amount of money to eat, I would imagine, a couple million bucks over a few years.
And Frank Reich needed a defensive coordinator.
And he needed a defensive coordinator, and you were scrambling, and you were late to that coaching search because of what McDaniels did. So they keep it on, and it works out. So hopefully that speaks to Eberflus's ability to be adaptable.
Yes, I think that speaks to his ability to be adaptable, and the fact that Frank Reich runs the offense. You know, Marcus Brady is the offensive coordinator there, but Frank Reich calls the plays, and he's the offensive mind. Matt Eberflus has had tremendous autonomy as the defensive coordinator. He has been fully in charge of developing those guys, and they've developed that defense. They've had a lot of good young draft picks who have turned into very good players for them. And what'd you say, top 10 in turnovers 3 out of 4 years?
Yeah.
It's top 10 in scoring 3 out of 4 years as well.
Yeah. I was just going through some of the numbers. It top 11 in DVOA from Football Outsiders, which is like the, you know, the war of football. Top 11 all 4 years. Top 10 run defense all 4 years. Top 10 in takeaways, I believe the last 3 years, might be four, for Matt Eberflus and the Colts. So a consistently high-ranking, good against the run, good for takeaways, top 10 defense. Now, it is a 4-3, should be a little bit better against the run, and he has one of the best defensive linemen in football, DeForest Buckner, and one of, if not the best linebackers in football, in Darius Leonard.
But you heard Rod Marinelli talk about Darius Leonard's skill with the peanut punch. That is a taught and learned and stressed fundamental of their defense that Matt Eberflus teaches.
Darius Leonard, though,
is great. He's obviously great.
I mean, he was a first-team All-Pro as a rookie. You know, he does. I'm not saying that Matt Eberflus did not impact him, but he was a first-team All-Pro as a rookie. He seems to be a generational talent, will end up in Canton one day type of football player. So I'll be surprised if Darius Leonard is lesser of a player without Matt Eberflus. Maybe he is, maybe he's not. But so he's got to bring that here. Now, the Bears defensive line, strength of the team last year. Converting to a 4-3, I know that's going to be a talk on Bears Twitter.
Yeah.
Khalil Mack was an all-pro as a 4-3 D-end. One of the things that happened when he got here.
Great players can play.
Yeah, him specifically was he had been first-team all-pro in both systems with the Raiders. He went through the 4-3 to 3-4 change before he even got to Chicago, and he was a first-team all-pro D-end and a first-team all-pro outside linebacker. Khalil Mack is like the definition of system proof.
I thought our colleague Anthony Herron was great with Bernsey today. They did a couple of segments talking about the hire, and Anthony was talking about converting some of those defensive players to 4-3. And you know who he was really high on? Bilal Nichols as a potential three technique in the Warren Sapp, Tommy Harris three technique, Les Grobstein official designation. Yes.
All right, man.
Bilal, you there? All right, man.
It's a newer type of situation.
I like that thought. Yep.
C gaps.
It's kind of like Tommy Kelly. Does that help a little bit?
It's Polecat's Tommy, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, God, it's the best part of the clip.
Are you threatening to pull the less lever?
Pull the less lever, Tanny. Hit us with the whole thing.
No. With great power comes great responsibility. You know, okay. I will not be forced to pull any lever around here, okay?
Wow.
The lever is a team creation.
I'll be
but
cajoled.
At Tanny's discretion of when he will or will not pull the less lever.
Okay, but yes. So Bilal Nichols may be converting to a three technique. We talked with Marinelli, and he agreed with what Lawrence had gotten right from Lance Briggs. Good job by Lawrence texting Lance Briggs and saying, hey, is Roquan Smith more of a Mike linebacker or a Will linebacker? And Lance said, oh, yeah, he's me. He's me.
Right. And that's great.
That's cool.
And that is what Darius Leonard is.
Yes.
Darius Leonard is the Will, the outside backer.
Like Derek Brooks.
In that spot. So that Roquan Smith, you would hope, it's tough to have a better year than Roquan Smith had this year in any department except takeaways. You could not really add, I mean, maybe a little bit in coverage. Maybe you could say he could have been a little bit better in coverage.
Yeah, he got beat on a couple wheel routes here and there.
But pure sideline to sideline tackling, I don't believe there to be a better. There might be people on his level, but I don't believe there to be a better sideline to sideline tackler than Roquan Smith. Sacking the quarterback, forcing fumbles, creating interceptions, like the game-changing impact plays. You look at Roquan Smith's numbers, you look at Darius Leonard's numbers, there's a marked difference. So hopefully this system takes the strength of Roquan Smith, which is tackling, and keeps it there, and it increases the impact, game-changing, possession-changing types of plays.
I tell you what, Eberflus is known for counting loafs, right? And he has a very specific and demanding grading system that dictates playing time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. R.I.P. Louis Anderson.
R.I.P. Well. Louis Anderson.
Wait. A specific and demanding grading system. Like, if you loaf at all, you don't get to play. He's built culture in a really solid way in that way. My money's on Eddie Jackson losing playing time. Anybody else want to pick somebody? My money's on Eddie Jackson being graded poorly during practice and losing playing time. Maybe that's a mean and cynical take, but it's my first thought.
Well, there's a lot of evidence to support it the last couple of years. And with his own words about everybody can tackle, the rare guys can take away the ball, and he got his contract, and then it didn't, the turnover numbers went away and all of that stuff. It's a reasonable thing. Now, are they in a position to take away playing time from Eddie Jackson, given his cap number and the contract he's locked into? You can, but this isn't the Yankees in baseball where you could just eat a contract and put a guy in the minors and be like, well, there's more money after that. It is a salary-capped sport. So when you got a $15 million player and he's healthy, that $15 million player plays.
I know. This makes me think of a Dave Wanstead story, which I will ask him to retell when we talk to Wani later on in the show.
Okay, yeah, Dave Wanstead at 4 o'clock. I texted him earlier. I said, do you know Matt Eberflus? And he said, no. I said, all right, well, we're going to talk to Rod Marinelli. Apparently had a big influence on him. He said, don't worry, I'll do some digging. I'll have stuff for you by the time the show starts. So Dave Wanstead has been calling his sources. He'll have stories and information for us in 20 minutes. You'll hear Chris Ballard on Eberflus and that defense coming up. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.
We were 9-6, and everybody's shouting it up as we're a Super Bowl team, that's probably over the top, and then now we lose these last two games and we just suck. Well, that's probably over the top too.
Chris Ballard should have been here, wasn't. Went with Phil Emery. Yikes. And now he's running the show in Indianapolis. By multiple reports, a big proponent of Matt Eberflus to getting a head coaching job. And it's a combination of Kansas City people and Indianapolis people that are coming to Chicago. And frankly, two very good organizations.
Yeah, two very healthy, strong organizations.
With a lot of Chris Ballard input, obviously, in both of them.
Yeah.
Like, Chris Ballard was the number two in Kansas City, and yeah.
If you're going to steal from the best.
No, I know, it's just funny, like those fork-in-the-road moments. All you needed to do, just think about it. Chris Ballard wanted the Bears job.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
He wanted to report directly to George.
That's what he wanted.
So he didn't have to deal with Ted.
Yep.
And now, what is it, 7 years later?
You're poaching people who've been near. Yeah, you're poaching people who've been near Chris Ballard.
Right. All that's happened since that, it's because it's longer than 7 years, well, closer to 10 years, Chris Ballard has gone to Kansas City. They've become arguably the healthiest organization in the entire league. And then he goes to Indianapolis, and they've become a top 10, borderline top 5 organization in terms of health.
Yeah, it's true. And if
Andrew Luck doesn't retire, they're probably top 5.
And here's the thing. I know it's easy to just say, well, Kansas City has Mahomes. They had damn good years with Alex Smith.
Oh, I mean, they had 4 straight trips to the playoffs. And they – now, listen, Andy Reid was the – you know, they had a 2-14 right. season. Like they had Todd Haley, they had Romeo Crennel.
Well,
like,
part of that is because he's a real good roster builder,
right?
You know,
absolutely,
he's a really good roster builder, and that's where Ryan Poles is learning from. And in Indy, man, they had a winning record, obviously with Luck, and then they have a winning record with Jacoby Brissett and a winning record with Phillip Rivers.
It's a good team,
and a winning record with Carson Wentz in consecutive years.
Yeah,
that's outrageous.
It's a good team. It's a good organization.
And there was a point.
And he should have been here.
They were top 5 in offense, defense, and special teams at a certain point a couple years ago. And consistently, those units have played pretty well.
So it was a very frustrating year, though, for the Colts. They were a huge favorite in week 18, 17-point favorite, right? I think it was 17. Couldn't beat the Jaguars.
Gave up 26 to Jacksonville.
Give up 26 to Jacksonville and lose as the biggest favorite of the weekend and miss the playoffs because of it. Chris Ballard, obviously, very upset after the season, but here he was talking about the defense and within it, Matt Eberflus.
There's a couple things that I know we have to be better at. And look, this falls on me. On defense, we've got to be able to rush the passer better. I mean, it's a passing league. You got to be able to affect the passer, and you got to be able to throw it. But I'll say this. I don't think, look, at the end of the day, it's what, you know, it's what we ended with, but I think it always lies somewhere in the middle. It's never as bad as it seems and never as good as it seems. You know, when we were 9-6 and everybody's, shouting it up as we're a Super Bowl team, you know, that's probably over the top, you know. And then now we lose these last two games and we just suck. Well, that's probably over the top too.
Your defense, you talked about the takeaways, which were phenomenal. On the whole, though, how do you evaluate it? Because, I mean, is that enough? Are the takeaways enough?
Scoring, number one. Did they score a bunch of points against us? I think we finished 9th in the league in scoring defense. That's number one. Like, you can look at all them sacks, all those other stats, sacks, yards attempt. Did they score? Did they score? Do I want it a little better? Yeah. But I think we finished in the last 2 years in the top 10. There's things we need to be better at. Okay, we need to affect the passer. I thought when we started playing more man-to-man defense down the stretch and more match, the completion percentage and the quarterback's QBR rating wasn't quite as high as it was early in the season. And that's something I know Flus is looking into. Those are things we definitely got to get better at. We were pretty good with the explosives this year. I think we finished 8th and 9th in the league, so better. But we've got to – and then we took the ball away. Like, I can't – That's a big thing. We've been in the top 10 every year. Well, we've done it 4 years in a row right here. Have we been in the top 10 every year since Flus has been here? Tell me if I'm wrong. And then when I was in Chicago, if you go through from a stretch from 2005 to 2012, similar defense, similar style, we were up there. I think 1 year we had an off year. I think it was 2008. But we've been in that rank. I think, I mean, like I said, 33 might be the outlier number, but I think the way we play, the players we have, the way they strip at the ball, I think we'll, you know, it could go off some, but we're pretty good at it, you know, and we've been in the 20s every year since Flus has been here.
Wow. That's interesting. God, it's so cool to hear Ballard talk. He's just so thoughtful and so and just so on point and willing to just be real and talk about stuff. But yeah, we lived all that with the Lovey Bears. They made turnovers somehow a sustainable skill. And
yeah.
And you didn't think it was possible, but they taught it. And now here is an example of another team, similar style, similar coaching, and similar, you know, tenets coming from above, making it sustainable too. So maybe it can be taught.
I think it can be taught. There are outlier years. You can have both things can be true. You can teach yes. it, and then you can have turnover luck.
It's like puck luck in hockey. If you get in front of the net and you make, you know, make yourself a distraction and make yourself a blocker, then sometimes the puck will go off.
Speaks Ballard sounded very baseball manager-y there. Like, you know, we did all the right things. We just, he doesn't even know how to explain
you're
why
right.
things didn't go right.
Yeah,
so we do these things and we should be having the right result, but we didn't.
I said puck luck, but it could be BABIP he's talking about. It absolutely is. Like, you know, hey, we hit the ball hard. You know, what are you going to do?
But we also saw it here. I mean, the 2018 Bears had 36 takeaways.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That is an insane number. That was an outlier number. And it got Vic Fangio a head coaching job. And, you know, it made Eddie Jackson a top 100 Bear and the highest paid safety in football. But a lot of things went right that year. Khalil Mack was healthy. Akeem Hicks was healthy.
Right, strip sacks were a big part of it.
You know what I mean? Like a ton of things went right for that team. So it was a little bit of luck. It was a little bit of coaching. It was a little bit of really good talent, and they deserved it.
But multiple years in a row means you're coming in and stressing it, and that's how you make it sustainable. You're stressing it, you're teaching it, and you're pointing it out instead of kind of just hoping it happens again for you.
Yeah. And so hopefully, like it's an interesting thing. Can the Bears be top 10 in takeaways next year with some of the serious problems they have on defense, namely cornerback depth? Like, can you do it with being as bad in the back four as I would expect them to be? What are they going to do with two pass rushers on the wrong side of 30 in Khalil Mack and Robert Quinn? Like, it could be a good defense next year, but I think that it's also going to be a defense in transition over the next 2 or 3 years.
All those old maxims and tenets of the old cover two and the Lovey cover two are going to get recycled and put back into my head. You got to get pressure with the front four. Got to get pressure. And that's the first thing Marinelli said when we asked him about the defense evolving from then to now. What's the difference? He said, well, it's the same. You need pressure up front. He said defensive line pressure.
Right. You want to get if
orange and blue.
Oh, God.
Cover two.
Dave Wanstead said he was going to do his homework and do some digging on Matt Eberflus. What did he find next on The Score?
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.